Okay. Well, welcome everyone, and appreciate you taking time today to come to our presentation. As Daryl said, I am Terry Lanphier, and whoops, not too far. Uh-oh. Got a little out of order there. As Daryl said, I'm Terry Lanphier, and I'm the group manager for the Windows Protocol Content Team. My team consists of the programming writers, editors, and release managers who are involved in developing the Windows Protocol content and releasing that content to MSDN and the Download Center. We're responsible for the protocol technical specifications, the overview documents, the glossary terms and definitions that you find in the documentation, the change tracking information in the documentation, and the artwork. That's not an exhaustive list of everything that we do, but it gives you a good idea of what we're covering in that documentation. We also develop an editorial standards guide. This is a documentation. This is a document that's used by all of the protocol teams here at Microsoft Office, Exchange, SQL. And we have that documentation in place in order to ensure that we have consistency and clarity across all of the protocol documentation at Microsoft. My team is also involved in developing the document templates and the guidance associated with those templates. So our technical specifications and our overview documents, they all follow a template. For example, an RPC protocol will follow the RPC template. And again, we do that so that we have consistency across the protocol documentation at Microsoft. And then finally, we are also involved in the design and development of the user experience within our content as well as on MSDN, which leads us to why we're here today. So a high-level purpose in today's meeting is to get to know you guys, our customer. More specifically, what we want to talk to you about today is change tracking. A little later, I'm going to turn it over to Althea Champagne, who's here in the front. And we're going to have a group discussion to collect feedback from you guys on what you like or dislike about change tracking. It'll be interesting to hear if you even know what we're talking about when we say change tracking, if you've even seen that part of our documentation. But our goal is to get feedback for you so that we can improve that experience. Before I turn it over to Althea, I just want to talk very briefly about our customer advisory board. And my goal here is to pique your interest in joining that customer advisory board. Whoops. So the customer advisory board, or the CAB, this is a forum for ongoing communication between you, the customer, and my team, the content team. What we want to do is have an opportunity to discuss with you our content and that user experience after PlugFest and throughout the year, so that we can put some of our plans in front of you and hear from you if that aligns with your needs or not. And so it's an opportunity for customers to provide early feedback on information, the content information, and the user experience. Our goal around the CAB is to have a monthly meeting. It would be once a month. We would have a monthly meeting. It's an online, live meeting. It shouldn't take more than an hour of your time, and we would always publish the agenda or what the topic is ahead of time so that you could decide if you really wanted to participate in it or not. The purpose will be to request feedback from customers on content innovations or initiatives that we are considering. It'll be to hear from you guys on what you're seeing as gaps in our content or pain points that you're experiencing while you're trying to use our content. We want to inform you, this is the last bullet here, inform you about our upcoming releases, what new content, new protocols is in a release, what the bulk of changes are in a release, and if there's any user experience that you need to be aware of or know how to use. And then finally, throughout the year, we would have a couple of CAB meetings where the engineering teams would present to you via the CAB information about a new protocol or updates to an existing protocol. So just at a very high level, a very brief explanation, that's what the CAB is about. Again, later on in the presentation, Althea is going to give you a chance to let us know if you're interested in participating. If you are interested, we'll get your contact information from Daryl, and then we will contact you later in April or early May to get you involved in that customer advisory board. Again, we're very interested in having you join. But the other thing we would like to hear about, if there's any reason why you would not want to join, if there's any concern you have about being part of a customer advisory board, we'd like to hear that too. You know, example might be that you're worried about you're going to get too much spam, or you're worried about the time commitment, something like that. And we want to hear about that from you so that we create a CAB that will work for you guys, and that we don't have a CAB out there that customers are concerned about joining or don't want to join. So please share, if you have any feedback around that, please share that with us. So I'm going to turn it over to Althea now, and she's going to, like I said earlier, talk about change tracking. Throughout her presentation, she's going to be looking for feedback from you guys, and I encourage you to give us very candid feedback on our change tracking. You know, don't hesitate to give us critical feedback. The more blunt you are, the easier it will be for us to create an experience that really works for you. So again, thank you for coming to our session, and I hope you enjoy the rest of PlugFest, and I'll turn it over to Althea.
Thanks, Terry. Morning, everyone. Thanks again for coming. My name is Althea Champini, and I'm a principal writer on the Windows Protocol content team. And my focus is really around creating new content, new experiences that will help you use our content in a much more efficient way, and also help you just be more successful at your jobs. So today, I want to talk about one feature that Terry mentioned you may or may not be using, but we want to make sure that what we're doing works for you, or if it doesn't, present some options, some scenarios to get your feedback. So I'm going to be asking about the protocol document change track. So first off, who is aware that we do change track the current documents? Couple. All right. Interesting. Okay. So we do, actually. Every technical document has a change track topic where each section has changed. It's summarized in a table, and it shows you what section changed. And when we do look at the page views, not a lot of people are looking at it, so it's consistent. But how important is it to you, if there was a change track system, in knowing that a document changed? Would that be something that would be important? Would you use it? Yeah? Okay. A couple more heads. That's good. So there are a number of ways of doing it. So I'm going to show you a couple of scenarios. You know, there are visual cues that can indicate something changed. We can tell you a summary of what's changed, what we do now, basically, or give you the specific details of each change. So another thing to think about as you look through the scenarios, think about the kinds of changes you want to see. Are you interested in seeing anything and everything, all editorial changes, format changes, small version changes, or is it very focused on your technical changes? What level of change do you want to see? And as I go through, please interrupt me, make comments, ask questions. But I'm going to ask you to do something for me. If you do have a question or comment, please raise your hand and just say your name and the company you work for, and then ask a question, okay? All right, so the six change track scenarios that we're going through is changes summarized in a single topic, which is basically the experience today. Changes tracked in a differences topic. Changes shown visually, change bars. Changes tracked inline in a topic, showing a pop-up. Changes tracked inline as hover text, and changes controlled by a slider. So if you go through and you look at the scenarios, look at the wireframes, think about, is this scenario working for you? How hard would it be for you to visually see what the change is? What do you like about each scenario? What you don't like? And what would you change about it? And a quick note, so this is a discussion, like I said, just be open, and like Terry said, critical, give feedback. This survey is actually, and the scenario is actually online as well. I put in the URL there. It's http://aka.microsoft.rzodhc. Short, you can remember that. And you register, you need a live ID, you need an invite code. So it's TAP server 2011. You log in to the tool and you can see the scenario, the survey's there, lots of tools you can add notes, right? So I'll flash this slide again at the end of the session so you'll see it, okay? All right, any questions so far? All right, let's dig into the scenarios. So the first scenario is, so you're in a protocol technical document. For example, this is Active Directory Web Services protocol specification. And you see, whoops, my assist is good. You see a visual indication at the top of the document that there have been some changes made to the document since the last release. So you click there, and what you see is that change tracking topic I was talking about. And this shows you all of the changes in the entire technical specification summarized in a table. It tells you what section changed, there's a tracking number, internal tracking number we used, description of what the change is, there's a categorization here, whether it's a major change or a minor change. And to understand the classification, you can actually expand that and see what minor and major means and what type of change it is. So it's a single doc for the whole document. What do you think about this? Is this something that would be useful?
Well, right off the bat, I don't go back to protocol docs once the implementation's done. I don't go check them every month or every 2 months to see if it's changed. Mm. Honestly, why would I? I'm done. It works. The interoperability's passed. What I would care about for changes is, one, things that will change the operation of the code, which means not typos, but things that are technical. The other one is, I want somewhere where I can see, here are the documents that have had technical changes at a much higher level.
So a list of all of them.
It's not that I want to see the changes in this doc.
Right.
I want to know which docs I need to revisit. That's a higher level issue, because I don't revisit a doc once the implementation's done.
Right.
Do you want to just repeat the question?
Yeah. So the comment you had was that, and your name was, sorry?
Kevin Brock, I'm with Citrix.
Kevin said that having the changes at a topic level is not really useful. What you're interested in is show me all the specifications that change, because you don't necessarily go back once you've done implementation and reread the protocol docs and make changes. So you want to see a list of all the protocols that have changed for your release.
Right.
So you could make a decision if you needed to go back.
I need to know what I need to revisit.
Yeah. Okay.
And we actually have that document. We actually have what you're asking for. It's a little different than the way you described it, but we have it. But it's not, correct me if I'm wrong, Veronica, it's not on MSDN. It's not available on MSDN. So that is
that
actually
sounds
a
like
very
a problem.
Yes, that's a pretty easy fix right there.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. Any other comments about this scenario?
Well, I don't know how people deal usually with this documentation. As far as I'm concerned, I might be a bit old-fashioned. I tend to download the PDF. So having this information on the web might be useful, but I would like to find them in the document, or yeah, most probably in the documents, just to know easily and to see easily what has changed.
Right.
But that's due to the way I consume this kind of document.
Actually, that's a good point. So your comment was you use the PDFs more than the online docs. So have an experience like this or some change track experience in the PDF is what you really want. Actually, I want to ask a quick question. So how many people exclusively use the PDFs? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 1/3. Okay. So do you know that the docs are online as well? You do, but you prefer the download. Okay. And the rest of you do use the online version.
Well, I think some of us may use both to find the PDFs easier to navigate through.
Okay. Why do you think it's easier?
Well, instead of jumping from page to page to page, I can...
Instead of jumping from page to page to page, I can, you know, simply page through a single document and find what I'm looking for simply as easily.
Just easier to search. But in the same time, it's easier, in fact, to, you might use it.
If I don't know in which document it is, I usually do, I go in a search engine, put a couple of words like MSDN, let's say what I'm looking for, like the RPC call I'm looking for, and then usually go, I mean, land in MSDN pages. I look which document it is, which section it is, and then if I have already the PDF, I go to the PDF. If not, I go at the top level, download the PDF, and start reading.
Okay, so use repeat what you said.
In order to, it's really, I use it mostly to locate in which document, because sometimes, I mean, documents are, collection is so huge now that it's very difficult to know in which document you're going to find the information. Even if, I mean, it can be sometimes, for instance, related to Netlogon, but for some strange reason, you're not going to find it in the Netlogon document, but in an ADTS document, whatever.
Right. Okay. So the search experiences is what you use the online content for. Interesting. Thank you. All right. Any other comments? All right. So let's look at the second scenario. So in this scenario, you still see you're given you're on this Active Directory specification. You click that link that says there are changes. And what you see instead of that table is you actually see the topics that have changed with the changes shown inside the top of the content. So it's in a changes since last release topic. So these are all the sections that have changed. So with summary table describing what's changed, you see the changes in line. Any comments about this one? Is that useful? You see something good, bad?
It is useful.
Yeah. Do you like seeing the specific changes in line like that?
So my concern is that often when I'm looking at a document, it's been 6 months. And so there may have been several revisions in between.
Yeah.
And so how this can represent sort of the change, the diff between that time period instead of just the diff between the last version.
Last, yes. So these scenarios, we're talking about the last two, the current and then the most previous one. But are you looking for even more changes? So you'd like to see differences between versions 3 and 4 and 5 back?
Yeah, it would be much more convenient to say, I mean, it's something sort of automatic that you could do with the web view, but say between, I know I read it in May, of last year, and I'm reading it, you know, in April now. What are all the changes without going through 12 different monthly revisions?
Okay, good. Thank you for that. Okay.
So you're saying a year? Is that
6 months?
6 months would be a good period. So Althea, would 6 months be? That would be two quarterly releases.
Two releases of the document, yeah.
The quarterly helps, too. I thought they were still monthly.
Right, okay.
Helps us, too.
All right, good. Any other comments about this one? Is the fact that what you're seeing here is just the topics that have changed, not the whole previous document. Is that an issue for you? Right. Okay. The next one is something that you see in a lot of other technical documentation on the web, which is an indication that something's changed, but not specifically what's changed. So this, it will say changes have been made to this topic since the last release, and if a section has changed, for instance, since the last release, this last line was added, this last section, it will show you a color bar that indicates that section has changed. So you could visually scan and see, no, hard one vote, no. Any other, no, this is a bad idea. Feedback? Anybody said, yes, this is what I want? Everybody else kind of neutral? Okay.
It's just not much different from the version number, right?
Okay. We're having a version number on the top of the document.
Right. It seems like this level of granularity isn't much improved over just saying the entire document has changed.
Okay. What about if...
Of the three, I like the first the best so far.
First one. Okay. What about if we defined what this meant better? In other words, it doesn't show editorial changes, it doesn't show typos. There's a technical change. Like, but you said something that would impact your implementation. Would that make a difference, or the granularity is still too high?
I guess it's just a question of how much I have to reread.
Right.
Is the change within 30 pages, or is the change within 3 pages?
Right. Okay. Any other feedback about this one? Have you seen this experience on other docs online? Okay. All right. Going through. So scenario 4 is, so think of the Active Directory technical specification. There is the icon and link that says changes have been made. And when you click the link, what you now see is the current topic in a pop-up, and it shows you where the change was made. It also has some interesting controls, so you could, this helps you to adjust, could help you to adjust the level of changes that you're seeing. So you could see all changes, including typos, editorial changes, or you could say, just show me the major changes. So you could see the technical changes. Any feedback about this one? Is it something that you find useful? Do you like it? Do you hate it? What would you change about it?
As far as I'm concerned, I pretty hate pop-ups, so...
You hate pop-ups, okay.
I mean, I find them pretty much perturbating, so I mean, I would be not very pleased, and I will try even to skip this as much as I can. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm one more time old-fashioned, but yeah, pop-ups tends to be not very the way I like it. Yeah, but I mean, if I can read also online, pop-ups are very annoying because it's perturbate the way you are reading stuff. You have to push the pop-up, so.
Right. Would there be anything that we could do?
That's just my personal.
Just your personal, general pop-ups. If you could dock the pop-up, it wouldn't matter. Would that be an okay experience?
I don't know. Yeah, I have to practice, but. Already when I see a pop-up, I already try to step back.
I think of the ones I've seen so far, I like the inline list. The suggestions I've seen so far, I like the inline list of changes by revision. So you can say, going back over some revision, here's what changed in each revision. One is because if you're using a PDF, you've still got it online. You could link it to the section, so you can. It works in both. I agree with the annoying pop-ups opinion, too.
Good. So difference is topic one works for you. Good. Thank you. Any other comments? All right. We have 25 minutes. All right. The next one is, it's not a pop-up. It's a hover text. So.
Potato, potato.
A little better. So, again, it's the AD technical specification. Changes have been made to this topic. You see a little control at the top that says what you're seeing is a current version of the topic. If you wanted, you could click and you could see the previous version of the topic in line. And if you hovered over any paragraph, you'd see a little hover text box open, and it will show you what the previous version of that section was. No? How would you say no?
I think the hover text probably doesn't do flow controls. If you have a smaller device or a portrait or landscape, right. It just doesn't work. So I don't think this is.
Your comment is the device itself you're using was a mobile device.
Yes.
It wouldn't show properly. Okay. Any other comments? Anybody hate hover text? No? All right. And this one is, again, there's a a line that says changes have been made to the topic. By default, the changes are not shown. It's off. But if you do select that option on the upper right-hand side and select changes on, what you're seeing is you show the changes to the topic since the last release. So in the topic itself, you will see the line that section, the line that changed along the specific change highlighted, and a control shows up at the bottom of the page that allows you to change the granularity of the changes. So as you move this to all changes or just deletions, what's highlighted and colored in a different color changes. So you have the control here to show how much or how few changes you show in the page. Yeah?
I would like to see a way to determine what release, what version.
So the version.
Yeah, right. Instead of just always using the previous version to select what version I'm comparing.
Yeah, all right, yeah. So you select the last version or the version for by. What would you like to see us identify the version by month, by? That's the month.
It would probably have to be by, I guess you could have the version and the date next to each other.
Right. The version stamp and a date.
Yeah.
You kind of can see both. Okay, good. Thank you.
This one's really good.
You like this one?
Yeah, because it gives you a side-by-side comparison. It's not really side-by-side, but you can see what was, what went to.
Right.
It looks a lot like Microsoft Word, how it does its change.
Yes.
You know, tracking. So it's something I think people know and are comfortable with. I'm not sure I would use the show changes. That seems like...
Slider.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, I probably wouldn't touch it, but just being able to see the differences,
right.
So mixed is good.
Mixed is good. So your comment is you wouldn't necessarily use this slider. To
probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
Just the fact that I could turn on and off changes would be, I think, sufficient.
Okay.
For me.
So. Is that what other folks feel? Would having the just this without the slider work for you? Or would you prefer to have the slider where you could adjust the change? Hands up, slider. All right, no slider. All right, okay. All right, thank you. All right. Any other comments about this one? So this is where we get to the part, the discussion part, which is we showed you, you know, six different change track scenarios, and really, you know, what's your ideal one? Is it one of these, a combination? Have you seen something out there that say just went, wow, this is the way I would love to see the protocol documentation show change track? If you design something from scratch, what would you really want to see? And why is change, what parts of change track information do you really, really, really want to see? All right.
Who wants to
start?
Got them all here.
Well, if I was to really throw out a wish list, I'd be able to register for certain documents and be told when they'd changed. I'd get an email saying, "Here, one of these documents has changed, and here's a link to the new document with some diffs," so that I don't have to keep coming back and checking, okay, has something changed? No. Something changed? No. Then about the time you give up looking, something changes.
So on that doc that says, that shows you a list of docs that have changed, would you want to see a summary of what's changed, or would you just want to see the link and you discover yourself what's changed?
If it was a technical change, I wouldn't care exactly what had changed. I'd want to look at the doc.
Yeah.
Editorial changes, I honestly wouldn't care much about. I'd want implementation affecting changes.
Okay.
It's interesting, Althea, because that's exactly what we've been getting on the SMB2 doc, which has been, you know, on the list for preview doc changes as well as regular changes.
Yeah.
That's been the one where I basically ended up trying to say, send out to those developers who are always working on it, well, there's updates, you know, when we have a plug fest.
Right.
So it would be interesting. There is this request. How would we be on a feed, an RSS feed or something that says, I'm a SMB2 implementer, and I need to know when this thing is being updated.
Oh, that's good.
So
notification.
So this is the kind of thing that is actually pretty popular now in the SMB world.
So kind of on that note, I guess it's kind of a question, but from my standpoint, just looking at like the Exchange side and just being able to subscribe to an RSS feed at that level, just at a very high level, that would show me just the doc name that was updated or added or changed, would allow me to go in and see that. I don't know if other folks would want to know about specific docs versus not, but just having it at a high level would be really helpful.
This stop change, if you don't even know the level of detail, what does this thing change?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but I mean, to complete what you are saying, what is also interesting is to know when the document has really changed. We discussed this issue with Neil. Like, if you change the document because you say, I mean, it behaves also like this in Windows 8 or Windows 9, then it's not such a use. Or if you just fix a typo or a couple of stuff like that, I mean, I don't think it's for engineer too much interesting.
If we have an RSS feed that says something has changed, you want
yeah, when it has changed, it has to be something meaningful for someone who wants to implement it. If I mean, if it was working like that on Windows 7 and it's working like that in the same way in Windows 8, then it's not a change. You would like that the next version of Windows behave the same way as the previous version. So it's pretty good news when nothing has changed.
Right. Okay, good.
And I mean, something also a bit completely unrelated. I was just thinking about. So you proposed the PDF release, and did you thought about our ebook release?
Ah, so it's something you can read like a Kindle.
For instance, I'm using Kindle, and I put the PDF, but I just know that's not as great as the ebook because the resizing is not that great. So I was just thinking because in fact, ebook is just more or less HTML. You have HTML. I don't think it would be too complicated to get a ebook release.
Right. How many people? So you love that. How many people would also like an ebook compatible download version? Ah. Okay. That's good. Okay.
Right. VMware has done that with their documents. I just noticed.
Oh, they are.
Really appreciate it.
So they have mobile versions. What platforms do they have? Do you know?
They support both. What is it? EPUB and Mobi. Both the Amazon and the Nook formats.
Right. Okay, good. Thank you. All right. Okay, so got a couple great comments. So notification by RSS feed, really important to know the level, I mean, high impact changes as part of the notification, having a download version of the content that works on mobile devices, and then the slider as being the solution that works for most people. Any other comments? Okay. Well, I'm going to show you again. We're about 25 minutes. So I'm going to be around between now and the next session. So I'm going to leave up the slide that shows you how to log on to the online survey site, and I'm going to ask you please to go on and provide feedback. So there's lots of ways you can actually put verbatim feedback. I like this part of it. Tell me exactly why you like the slide reference, why you like something else. And if you have trouble logging on, I'll be here to help anybody get online and do the survey. But also want to encourage you to, if you're interested in joining the CAB, Customer Advisory Board, please let Daryl know, let us know, and again, like Terry said, we'll get your contact information from Daryl and invite you to the first meeting of the CAB. All right. Thank you, everybody, and I'll...
Can you go back to the other slide that had the...
Oh, the log-on, yes.
What to log in under?
Yes. So, yep, because you will need... So that's this site at the top, and you will need this invite. So if if you've ever used the scenario manager tool before, has anybody used that tool? No. So then you'll need this that invite, App Server 2011. All right. Thank you all. I really appreciate your feedback and your honest input. And if you have any other feedback, please put in the tool for us. We'll definitely look at it and use it in our design.
So we also have Paul Bartos from the AD. He owns a lot of the AD documents from writing standpoint, so he's a programmer writer from the team as well. And
sorry, Darrell.
Yes.
My bad. So I want to also thank actually the folks on Terry's team who helped basically flesh out the scenarios and help design them. So Paul is one. Veronica is here, is another one. Bethan isn't here. And Kathy, I don't think, is here. So thank you to those folks.
Yeah. And if you have questions, I know some of you talked with Paul in particular, but if you do have questions, they have some interesting perspectives on the background of the documents. And do provide us your feedback. We're at this stage of looking at this, as Althea has outlined. So we definitely want to look at this process and try to do something that would be useful to you. So we thank you for your feedback over time. I know we've appreciated the feedback from partners as you've attended these events. Do we miss anyone else from your team?
No. Got it on.
Thanks. Okay, well,
thank
our
you.
Plan at this point then is we'll take a break. We'll come back at 10 o'clock.